This is Shamir Young, bringing you the Pro Photographer Journey Podcast. Listen in as award-winning photographers discuss how they find opportunities, market their talent, and overcome mistakes to become respected, ever-advancing professional creatives. You'll also hear about their hard-learned lessons, as well as tips for making awesome images. You ready to take your photography business to the next level? Let's do it. And if you haven't already, be sure to pick up your free photography business bundle at prophotographerjourney.com/free-business-bundle. It's 4 weeks of helpful free gifts delivered every 7 days directly to your email inbox. The first thing you'll get is the PDF e-guide titled 12 Common Business Tips and Mistakes Photographers Wish They'd Known Before Going Pro. And believe me, I've made quite a few of these mistakes myself. After that, you'll get a new free gift every week that will help you propel your photography business forward. So head on over to prophotographerjourney.com/free-business-bundle and get yours today. Also, if you're enjoying this podcast, please leave a review in iTunes or Stitcher or wherever you're listening. The more reviews I get, the easier it is for people to find this podcast in search rankings. And I want to reach as many people as possible. So again, please leave a review. I really appreciate it. All right, let's get to the interview. Hey everybody, I'm here with senior portrait photographer Sherry Phelps. Sherry is the founder and owner of C. Phelps Photography, located in Gretna, Nebraska, a small town just outside of Omaha. In addition to running her own studio, she also loves to teach and inspire other photographers and has been a contributing writer, teacher, and photographer for SPA, or the Senior Portrait Artists, Seniors Ignite, The Joy of Marketing, The Senior Style Guide, The Professional Photographers of Nebraska, and The Professional Photographers of Rhode Island. She also does private mentoring at her own studio. Sherry, welcome to the show.
Hi, good to be here.
And you know, I'm really excited for our chat because I think you can offer some really valuable insight into specifically how we run our photography businesses.
Well, good. I'm glad to be here. I'm super excited to get this going.
Excellent. Well, you know, first let's back it up a little bit. And for the benefit of our listening audience, I want them to get an overview of you and your background, where you came from, and how you ended up where you are today professionally.
Sure. Well, I've been in the industry for about 25 years, beginning when I was 17. And to save everyone the math, I'm 42. I'm proud of it.
Excellent.
I was trained in the Air Force in both photography and in photo processing. And then I continued to use my camera after the military, kind of on a as needed and hobby basis. But I've always loved photography, so it just always seemed to come natural for me. And then as my kids grew older and didn't really need me as much, I really pursued more of the business aspect of photography and building a real studio. I've had a home studio for 12 years. I actually shoot in my own farmhouse. It's out in the country. I have about 5 acres, and I utilize my property and lots of areas within my home. My clients come here. That's one of the things that, you know, when I talk to other photographers in the industry, you know, there's this discord between, should you have a brick and mortar? Can you be a legit photographer if you work out of your home studio? And I have found that while there's pluses and minuses to both aspects, I really love working out of my home and can't imagine actually having to have a set of keys and drive to a location. I've been a full-time photographer for about 6 years. And when I say full-time, I mean that I've been the breadwinner. And during my shooting season, I probably work about 80 hours a week. So I really kind of go full bore during those summer months. I live in Nebraska, so I can't shoot year round. But the times that I do shoot, during about from May till probably end of October, first week in November, I'm pretty full force. And I've worked as a fashion photographer for modeling agencies, a clothing store that's pretty well known in the Midwest and expanding. I'm a professional hair and makeup artist. I've done work for the big screen, commercials, print ads, billboards, and then some political arena. And I've been a stylist for both hard lines and fashion. And for people that don't know what a stylist is, the best way to explain it is when you look through a catalog or an ad and you see like the bedroom all made pretty with the pillows and the blankets and the side table and the lamps. That's what I used to do. Mm-hmm. And then I have, I'm really good with power tools. That's really my superpower. I'm good with power tools. So that's all of my background in education.
Power tools, as in, give us an example.
I love power tools. I don't know. Maybe
Just
I got
in
it from
general?
my dad. Just in general, like
Huh.
if I yeah, I have all I own all the power tools in the house. They're all mine.
Wow.
And yeah, my dad used to wake me up when I was a little girl from the bottom of the steps at like 6 o'clock in the morning and tell me to come down and grab the hammer. We're taking down a wall. So,
Wow.
you know, I have learned from a very early age to, yeah. So I really want a table saw. That's my next purchase.
Oh my goodness.
I want a table saw.
Oh,
It
that's
would make
funny.
things so much easier than having to use my circular saw for everything.
You know, I'm a bit jealous. Just because I didn't mention this in the pre-interview, but we're actually moving to another house with a little more land. So I'm jealous of your 5 acres. We're not going to have 5 acres yet. Maybe the house after that. But we're doing a complete gut of the house, and I won't take too long going into it. But I'm just learning how to use tools now, and I'm afraid to touch the power tools because I may lose some limbs. But even just taking down a wall, for example, you know, I was able to help take down my first wall ever, and there's something very empowering about that, I have to say.
There really is, you know, there is empowering. And you know, it's when you get done and you've recreated whatever it is that you're working on, there's just such a sense of accomplishment.
Yeah.
You know, like I did that.
Right.
I kind of feel the same way about photography, you know, when
mm-hmm.
there's that killer image you take and you sit back and you look at it, you're like, God, I did that.
And
like, that's me.
One thing I didn't quite realize about you, I'm taking notes, by the way, as you're talking, and you mentioned that you're a stylist, you do hair and makeup. It sounds like you do quite a bit. I want to say you do it all, but I'm sure you have people that are helping you.
I employ a high schooler during my summer months to hold my reflectors and
mm-hmm.
process my orders and stuff like that. But
mm-hmm.
for the most part, I am pretty much a one-woman show. I do all of it. You know, I've tried to outsource things.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I outsource accounting because that makes me cry.
Me too.
I mean, literally,
yes.
I cry. But I've tried to outsource different things, and maybe I'm OCD, maybe I'm a control freak. I don't know what it is, but I just tend to like to do things myself. And really, the hair and makeup is something that I love to do.
Mm-hmm.
I was talking to a hair and makeup artist one time when I was on set doing some photography and just asking them some questions. And I said, how'd you get into this? And he said, you know, I was a fine artist. I used to paint canvas, and I figured if I can paint a canvas, I can paint a face. And it was like one of those aha moments for me. And I thought, I was going to go to art school before I joined the military.
Hmm.
And so I am a fine artist. And I was like, that makes total sense. And so then
mm-hmm.
I just decided to learn the craft of doing makeup. My mom was a cosmetologist growing up, so I kind of had the hairstyling done. And through all of these different things, I just worked hard at it. And so I would call friends and I'd be like, hey, let me do your hair and makeup. Then I'll take some pictures and you can just have the pictures. I don't know if they're going to look good or not, but let's just try it. And of course you're like, totally. And so over time I just learned how to do it and love the aspect of it. And because I'm a senior photographer, that time of doing the hair and makeup on my senior girls is a really great time to get to know them on a different level than just, hey, come in, let me take your picture.
Mm-hmm.
Because when you're working with someone, you know, doing something so, I guess, on a senior level, so intimate and important as their hair and makeup, they're really trusting me with their whole session, not just creating a great image, but also making their face and their hair ready to create that image. And so they have already given me that trust. And so through giving me that trust, I'm able to have great conversation with them, get to the heart of who they are, find out about their story, and then invest a little bit in where they're at. You know, by talking to them, I can kind of see, you know, are they self-conscious? Do they have a good self-esteem? Do they feel like they're doing great things in life? And then I can kind of invest in them. So I love it.
That really makes all the sense in the world. And I bet how comfortable they are with you and themselves is really reflected in the images that you take.
Absolutely.
And I noticed this myself when working with clients, where if they're comfortable with me, and for me, it's if I'm using a little bit of humor to make corny jokes, because I can't tell a good joke to save my life. But if it's corny, they'll laugh. And, you know, when
right.
they're more relaxed, then it absolutely comes out in those photos.
Absolutely.
I'm curious about your time in the military. What kind of assignments were they giving you? Because it sounds like that's really what started to shape you as a photographer.
Yeah. Well, if I told you, I'd have to kill you.
Oh, okay.
No, I'm kidding. No, I'm kidding. Not anymore. It's all been declassified. So in the military, I was trained in both photography and the processing of the imagery. And I spent time in Panama, in California. And in both of those locations, we did some really cool things. In California, I was in charge of processing film strips, like continuous film, like a movie processing film of missile launches. And so I did that. And then when we were in Panama, we did a lot of counter-drug intelligence. And so I was processing imagery of a lot of jungle. It looks like cauliflower or broccoli because it's on a negative. So it looks like broccoli on a long piece of continuous strip film. It's kind of boring, but but you know, vital. I felt like it was a privilege and an honor for me to serve my country, and it's something that I have a lot of pride in.
And we thank you for your service, definitely.
Yeah, you're welcome. I'd do it all over again.
And by the way, I didn't want to pressure you to give classified information. If you know,
right,
you can be as general as you like.
I put my own hand behind my back.
Well, next, Sherry, I'm curious. Tell us, how do you get yourself inspired for a photo shoot?
Let's see. I get inspired by asking my seniors a lot of questions. When my senior mom, because I specialize in high school seniors, you know, the parent calls me and says, I need to schedule a session for my senior. And usually they're all business. Let's schedule a session. What time, what date, how much do I owe? Good. We'll see you then. But I try to spend some time in asking them questions about their senior. Things like, you know, what are their hobbies? Tell me about your son or your daughter. What kind of personality do they have? What are their future plans? Are they going to college? What do they want to do? Are they dating anyone? Have they recently had breakups? What do I need to know about them? Are they excited about their session? And then I always ask my parents, tell me something about your senior that makes you smile. That's always a fun one. And then tell me the three words that would best describe your son or daughter. Then when I get all of that information, so let's say they say, you know, she loves to be outdoors. She's a soccer girl. She's kind of quiet and shy. She's artistic. Then I'll start going online and doing some research on outdoor images, soft lighting, and different things like that that I feel would capture who they are. And then I'm kind of a Pinterest junkie. And for those people that kind of shake their head at Pinterest, I'm like, you have no idea the power of Pinterest. You can look up anything on there.
Oh, yeah.
But I have a secret Pinterest board that only I can see. And I have a Pinterest board for like really great sports photography and really great outdoor photography and urban looks and all these different things. And so as I talk to the parents and I find out about the senior, I go to my different inspiration boards and I pin images there, as well as I will just kind of take a look and see what I want to do with this one. Sometimes, you know, when I have these football players that come in and, you know, they're all about football and they're all about, you know, they're big and they have these big personalities. I try to do something with my lighting outdoor that's, you know, big and Gatorade-ish, you know, like a Gatorade commercial. Like, so I'll think I want it to look like a Gatorade commercial. It's that kind of thing.
Okay, awesome. And, you know, one thing I always like to ask people I chat with on this podcast is, what makes a good photo stand out from an average photo, in your opinion? And I ask this because we're just flooded with images on a daily basis. I mean, TV, billboards, online. And so I think it's important that we know on a personal level why we like a certain photo and why we strive to achieve a certain photo.
Right. That is such a great loaded question. Because, you know, I feel like you can't just pinpointed to just one or two things. I think that it's really everything from beginning to end. What kind of story are you telling? Did you technically capture that image to tell the story? And then what sort of, you know, what kind of post-production do you have? If I have a story of a senior who's just an everyday senior, I'm not going to do a lot of crazy post-production and maybe some crazy hard lighting. But, you know, going back to that football player, if I'm telling the story of this bigger than life football player, I need to capture it in a way that tells that story. And then in post-production, I need to process that image in a way that's going to tell a story. You know, when I look back on my images when I was just starting out, oh my gosh, they sucked. I sucked. It was crap.
I think we all say that about our own images.
And you know, every year I look at my stuff from last year, I'm like, what was I thinking? When I was really wanting to go out and take money from clients, I thought, I'll just grab my camera and take some pictures. I'm good at taking pictures. And then I was about 85% creativity, 15% technicality. Mm-hmm. My brain has always been my best tool. And so I would create these really great, super creative images, but they didn't hit that high bell because the lighting or exposure super sucked. And I I had a great story, but the final image wasn't what I had envisioned because I didn't know how to capture it. And so then I attempted to fix those issues with Photoshop, but because I didn't have a great grasp on this bulldog of a software program that that thing is, I would over edit. So I would try to fix my lighting issues and I would, you know, try to edit out maybe bad color casting or whatever, because I didn't know what I was doing. And then my images just looked overworked. Mm-hmm. I kind of equated to when I was a kid, my mom would try to make dinner concoctions of whatever was left over in the refrigerator after a week. And we'd have to say, oh my gosh, mom, this is so good. When it really wasn't, we just wanted pizza. And I feel like that's kind of how my images were. Like, they were so overprocessed with all of these horrible brush strokes and color balancing and clone tools and sweeps and trying to make a great image. Mm-hmm. And my friends and family, the ones who love me, like, wow, these are great. But really, they just stunk. I've really worked hard over the last few years, or last 12 years, to work on lighting. I think that, you know, going back to your original question, it's the whole package. You can't just pick up a camera and say, a great image is one that has beautiful light. Because I can light beautifully an image that's boring to look at. Or you can have this beautifully conceptualized image of, you know, a little girl on a rocking horse in a field of lilies and, you know, doves around her. But if it's muddy and her expression doesn't fit, it's not a great image. So I think it's everything. And I think that's why it's so important to really look at all the aspects of photography and not just try to lean on one area. Mm-hmm. I don't know if that answers the question. Welcome to my brain.
It does. It actually does. And I totally get where you're coming from. I was like that in the beginning as well, where I was really letting my creativity pull me along, especially my first photo shoot. When I look back, it was probably one of the best models I had used for a shoot, and yet I was the least experienced at the time. And I've since gone back and reshot her, but it was my creativity driving me. And as far as technical knowledge, not so much, you know. And going back over those images now, it was I could see the elements I was missing. So I completely understand when you say it's the full package, the lighting, the composition, the story, the post-production process. And that actually takes me to my next question, which I actually want to just briefly touch on your post-production workflow, especially since you highlighted that. And then I want to briefly talk about the gear that you're using, or what you consider, you know, your most important asset. And so first, could you describe what your post-process workflow is like?
Absolutely. And you're not talking like from start to finish as far as like when I talk to my client. You're talking like, how do I process my image once I've captured it, right?
Yes, yes.
Okay. So the way that hi, my name is Sherry and I'm a Photoshop junkie. And I'm probably one of the 3% of photographers out there that don't use Lightroom.
Okay.
In fact, I really loathe Lightroom. Love you, Lightroom. Love you, Adobe. I've tried to use it several times. And like I told my good friend photographer Joey yesterday, I said, you know, I finally threw it against the wall and walked away. Because I have tried to use Lightroom like 5 or 6 times. And every single time, I just pull my hair out and leave. So I process my entire image in Photoshop. I'm constantly trying new things. I'm constantly playing with layers and all those sorts of things. And so my viewing software is Bridge. That's how I look at all of my images and cull them, if you will. And then I pull them into Photoshop in the raw processing window. And then from there, I take them and pull them into Photoshop. And really, whatever that image is how I, you know, whatever it calls for is how I process it. There's some that I just, because I shoot high school seniors, you know, there's some that just need everyday regular, you know, acne removal, under eye sweeps, pop the image, done. And then there's some that I work a lot harder on and or not harder, but more time. You know, I add effects and elements and brush strokes and grit and high def colors and all those different things to it to really create a final image that I feel speaks to the image. And so to answer that really quickly, I'm Photoshop 100% and I don't use really anything else. I have some plugins that I use. I used to use Portraiture a lot, but I don't anymore because I feel like it does too much to my image and I like to be a little bit more in control. And I have a few other plugins that I use, but for the most part, it's an ADD world in my Photoshop world because I just do everything all the time.
And there's nothing wrong with it. I love Photoshop. I'm a Photoshop person myself, and I didn't start using Lightroom until I started this podcast, actually. And
really?
Yeah. And you know, it's
some. Do you love it?
I do. In the beginning, I mean, there was a learning curve, but after getting over that learning curve, for me, it made my life so much easier. And a big part of that was because I do this less now, but years ago, I tended to overshoot. And so trying to cull through a zillion photos, it just went so much faster in Lightroom, and also making bulk corrections to large groups of photos all at once.
See, I can do that too. Every time I talk to a Lightroom person, they're like, I can do bulk, whatever. And I'm like, I can do that. I can fix a spot. I can do that. You know, all these things that I'm like, I think I was talking to one photographer and they said Lightroom and Photoshop really are the same things in two different layouts, two different software ways. That, and I'm like, yes, let's go with that because it makes me feel better.
you know, really, it's whatever you prefer. I've talked to photographers on this podcast that don't work in Photoshop at all. Nothing Adobe. So it's really, you know.
Really?
It's,
nothing Adobe? What are they using?
It's what you, you know, I'm trying to remember. It was something obscure. It was a couple things that were obscure programs.
Is it
that No. It was something I'd never heard of before.
Huh.
And I'm trying to remember who this was. It was a handful where they were using programs I'd never heard of, software I'd never heard of. And yet, looking at the images that they were putting out, they were excellent, excellent images. To the point where, you know, for a client, they're not going to necessarily ask, "Hey, well, what did you use to retouch these?" They're just happy to get high quality photos.
Right.
And I think that raises a certain, a very important point that it's what we bring to the table as creatives, as opposed to being overly reliant on the software that you're using or on the gear that you're using.
Right. Yeah. You know, you had asked me earlier, what is my go-to gear?
Yes, that was going to be my next question. Go right ahead.
So everyone usually talks about, oh, I get my light meter or my great lens. And I'm like, what's my go-to gear? My go-to gear is my brain. Excellent. My brain is always running. Mm-hmm. And it's one of the benefits of my clinically diagnosed ADD because everyone claims they have ADD, but I legit have ADD. I had ADD when ADD wasn't even cool.
Oh,
so
wow.
There you go. Yeah, I was ADD when I was a kid, but that's just when you were annoying and hyperactive and got out of my classroom. That's what happened to me back then. And so anyway, I'm constantly thinking creatively and technically and relationally during my photo shoot. Like, my brain is always moving. Mm-hmm. And it's probably one of the reasons why I don't have people working with me, because they would never be able to deal with my brain. And the thing is about, just like our equipment, you know, we take all this time to gather new equipment and find the latest and greatest and keep it clean and update our firmware and what software updates do I have to do? And it's the same thing with our brain. You know, we as creatives, we have to take care of our brain, because ultimately that's why 90% of us probably got into this industry, is because we classify ourselves as artists. Mm-hmm. We decided to become a photographer because we love the creative side. And then over that time, we learned the business side. We learned the technical side. The creative side, you know, sort of just kind of doesn't fall by the wayside, but the ratios change.
Yeah.
And so then when we're making a house payment or we need to get that next assignment or pay our taxes, we forget to take care of that creative side of our brain. And so it's so important for me personally, as a creative, to carve out time, not only in my off season, but almost more importantly, during my super crazy, running full force, busy season, because I start to get sort of in this rut where I start doing the same things over and over. You know, I fall back on, I know this is a great image. I know this is a great location. I know that this background will work. And so it's important for me to really take care of that part of my brain, or I start to not create such creative images for each one of my seniors. And that's something that I really try to do, is bring something new to the table each time. And that's really hard to do. So I usually find like a muse. Sometimes there's this little girl that I have used in the past. She's on my website and all kinds of different places. But I'll have like this big grandiose idea. Like, one time I wanted her to be a tornado. Mm. And so I'm like, you're going to be a tornado. And she's like, what does that mean? And I said, well, just come to my studio and I'll show you. So I created her into a tornado. And I mean, you think, how do you make her in a tornado? And if you and I were both to have this idea and I said, okay, you need to make a girl in a tornado and I'm going to make a girl in a tornado, we'd have two totally different images. Mm-hmm. And we both come to it in totally different ways. And that's the cool thing about the creative process. And so I do that, you know, I use my camera to help build my brain creatively. But then I also, in all other aspects, you know, sight, sound, hear, touch, feel, you know, I listen to music that inspires me. I use my hands to paint and sculpt, and it may not be great, and it doesn't matter. I write. I suck at writing, but I write. And I use my hands for creativity, not just on a technical camera aspect. You know, I take my hands off of my camera and I use them in different ways. And that's really what keeps my brain in top performance. And that's what makes my imagery stand out in my senior world from others, because that is it's my go-to gear is my brain. So that's really important. I think as creatives really need to look at that, whether you shoot, you know, product imagery. Mm-hmm. I mean, how many cans of Folgers can you shoot before you're like, oh, this is over, you know, I used to do that. Blah. So anyway, that's my go-to gear is my brain.
You know, that's such an awesome answer, because it shows that you're not overly dependent on the tools that you're using as far as software or physical camera gear. You're relying on your own creativity and it sounds like even your own intuition, which is key. Hey, photographers, I want to pause and take a quick second to tell you about the New York Institute of Photography at nyip.edu. It's an online school for students who want to learn photography from the comfort of their own home on their own time. Not only is the New York Institute of Photography the world's largest online photography school, but they've been in business for over 100 years. Yes, you heard that right, 100 years. Originally established in 1910, they got their start as a brick-and-mortar school. Fast forward to today, and the New York Institute of Photography is now an online school where you can study anytime, anywhere, and at your own pace. Every student gets a personal pro photographer mentor who will review your photos and help you improve. You can choose from 9 online courses based on your skill level and area of interest. They have courses on digital photography fundamentals, wedding photography, travel photography, photojournalism, marketing, and more. To view the free course catalog and daily specials, check out the New York Institute of Photography at www.nyip.edu. Again, that's www.nyip.edu. I love that it sounds like you're preserving your lifestyle as far as you're protecting yourself from burnout. I think a certain number of us really reach that rut that you mentioned where we're not feeling creative at all, where we get sucked up in the doing things, the same things over and over repetitively, or having to take care of taxes, which is, there's no quicker way to lose, at least for me, to lose my creativity than have to, you know, deal with taxes.
Yeah.
Which I almost physically cry as well. It's just
painful.
And I think many people don't realize that. I've noticed a cycle. When I meet younger, well, not necessarily younger in age, but newer photographers who are getting into it, trying to make a business out of it, where they start off very optimistic and they're overflowing with creativity and they stepped into it because they love to take photos. And they think that...
Well, you're giving me goosebumps. Give me goosebumps.
Right,
keep going.
Right.
Speak it.
I mean, this was me years ago.
Yeah,
where
it's all of us. It's
right,
all of us.
Right. You think that's what you're going to be doing most of the time. But when you try to cross over into the business realm, you either A, continue to take photos and ignore the business side, in which your business suffers and you're losing money, or B, you deal with the business side, even though you may not know exactly how to deal with it, you try to deal with it, but your creativity is sucked away. And so I really love your point that you take steps to foster your creativity and encourage your creativity to help it grow. I think that is so key to not only having a successful business, but keeping your sanity. You know, as a creative human being, I think as creatives, there are certain things we need to do. And it's so funny because I'm very different from my husband and I'm thankful. I'm so thankful we're two very different people, because if he were like me, I don't know if anything would ever get done. I know taxes wouldn't get done. You know, he's very practical minded, but he'll laugh at me because I have to take time to just dream and brainstorm or go for a walk in the park. And I consider this productive time because I'm preserving my sanity and my creativity. Even looking at the house that we're moving into, I had to feel out which room would be my office. And that was the way I put it. Like, it had to feel right. And I needed a room where I could daydream in, where there were big windows and lots of light coming in. And I think as creatives, we really need to honor that. We need to honor that we're a little bit different than, in a lot of ways, very different from people who are non-creative. And by the way, everybody's awesome. Whether you consider yourself creative or quote unquote non-creative.
We're also necessary.
Right.
We're vital to each other. Like you said, with you and your husband.
And I would argue people who call themselves, who think they're not creative, by the way, I think they're just creative in a different way. I think everybody's creative.
Like, oh, I'm not an artist. I'm like, everyone is creative and they're not. Everyone's an artist. It's just in their own way.
Absolutely.
Yeah. You know, I think exactly what you're saying, be true and true to yourself. You know, as you were talking, like, I just kept thinking, you know, to parallel it with, you know, a marriage or relationship, you know, you have, when you get into photography, when you pick up that camera and you start making these images, there's such a romance and it becomes like your lover and you just, you love it. I find so much fulfillment and, you know, like that new relationship, you know, there's just this love and attraction and love. Now I want to make this real. And so then you get married to photography and there's this honeymoon stage. You're like, I'm a photographer. I just create images all day. I just love photography. And then pretty soon, and people are like, okay, but now I need you to do this real. And then you sort of like, okay, now you're annoying me, photography. Like, remember when we were lovers? Remember when we used to create great images together? And now you have all these demands of me. And now you're requiring the financial support from me. And then, you know, you start to have a little bit of animosity and you lose that romance and the creativity. And just like in a marriage, or, you know, that intimate relationship, you have to have time away from each other. You have to take time away from photography to nurture yourself, like you were saying, a walk in the park. Mm-hmm. And you have to have that time together that's romantic. You know, I can get together with my husband and we can talk business. We can talk about house payments. We can talk about projects we need to do around here, but that's not romantic. Mm-hmm. And then you can get together with your husband and you can have romantic time. It's the same thing with photography. You have to have both. You have to have that balance or you're going to divorce photography and you're going to end up a bitter ex. And that's what you don't want. You don't want to end up a bitter ex. You know, you can part from photography and say, you know what? I thought I wanted to be a business, but I realized that I really love the romance of it. Mm-hmm. And so rather than try to pursue both, I just want to do it as something that I love and not worry about the money aspect of it.
Right.
So then do that and do it well. But if you're going to be married to photography, then you have to foster the creative side and you have to foster that business side. Mm-hmm. Because without both, if it's just creativity, it's going to die. If it's just business, it's going to die. And that's why the business side of photography is so important to think about, to learn about, to invest in, because it's easy to fall back on the romance. It's got to be both. It's got to be both.
I think that's the greatest metaphor ever, by the way. Marriage, you know, photography as a marriage or photography business as a marriage. And I'm glad that you pointed out that it's okay if people decide that they want to take photographs for fun, if they want to do it as a hobby. I think that's fine. I think it's ultimately just being true to yourself. Because some people, they prefer to just, you know, take photos for fun. And that's great. And other people, you know, they want to tackle it as a business and they thrive in that environment. There may be some learning curves. There's always a learning curve, but people learn to thrive with it. And it's really more power to you, whichever way you decide to go. But I think it's important that people really give it thought. Some people just tend to go into things mindlessly, which I've definitely done that in the past.
Well, I think people listen to the you shoulds. Mm-hmm. You know, people say, oh my gosh, you're so good at photography. You should do this as a business. And they're like, you know, I guess I never thought maybe I should do this as a business.
Yeah.
Well, my girlfriend, she's got kids and I know she would pay you to do this.
Yeah.
And so like, I wonder maybe, gosh, what would they, maybe like, I don't know. How about $75? Because that would be good. You know, and they're like, I could totally pay that. $75. Cause I pay that to JCPenney's. Let's do this. And so then they do this and they have this thought process that's all it takes is an I should and a, you know, a $100 bill and boom, you're a photographer. That's the, you know, it's one of the catch-22s about this industry is there's no regulation, no licensing that has to happen, which is good because it allows people to freely come and go and be creative, but it also causes a lot of discord because, you know, as a full-time professional photographer who needs to make a house payment and pay for my kids' college, I can't photo shoot. I can't do a photo shoot for $75.
Right.
And so that's one reason why I really am a passionate about the business side of this and really working with those young baby photographers. Like, you're not young, but you know what I mean? Like, the baby photographers who are like, oh my God, I love this. I want to marry photography and be a business. I'm like, okay, then let's do this right. Do you have a legit website? Do you have a legit, you know, brand? Do you have a price list that's honorable, authentic, and does it give you worth? Because anyone can prostitute themselves out there for a cheap photo shoot, but then that's all you are. But are you worth more than a $75 photo shoot? Because I bet you are.
And so here's a question for you, and this is a perfect segue into the business aspect of this interview. And this question is not one that's included in the list that I sent you. So I apologize in advance. I'm going to put you on the spot. But I think this is something that a lot of newer photographers struggle with in determining their value. And this is kind of a general, well, I guess it's not, depends on how general you want to take the question, but try to be as specific as possible. When you're just starting off as a new photographer and you're determining what pricing, you know, your prices, and you're figuring out your brand and what you bring to the table as a unique individual, how do you determine your value? What would you say to somebody who doesn't yet know what their value is?
There's two aspects to this that's coming to my mind right away. Number one, you need to be a dreamer. When you think about starting a photography business, don't think about right now. You think about, where do I want to be in 5 years? You look at other photographers, and I don't mean price-wise. I mean, you look at their imagery. You look at how they present themselves. You look at the way that they market themselves. And you think about, if you look at somebody who, that's who you want to be. And then you figure, what do I need to get there? I'm going to need education. I'm going to need a business acumen. I'm going to need equipment. And I'm going to need training. And so then, this is kind of simplified for the people that are like, just dummy it down, Sherry. Like, lay it out for me. Then you go out there and you say, how much does it cost for me to go to conventions to get true one-on-one mentoring? Not just like, hey, can I pick your brain for 3 hours? Because that assumes that I'm not going to pay you for your information. And you've paid and taught. I mean, if I'm going to come to you and ask you, can I ask you some business questions? Yeah, if it takes 3 minutes. But if you want to really sit with me and let me teach you, you got to pay me, because I didn't do this for free. I learned all this through time, energy, and money. So to invest, figure out what all that costs. What does it cost to go to the PPA convention? What does it cost to go to SYNC? What does it cost to go to WPPI? What does it cost to do a one-on-one mentoring? What does it cost to get a really fantastic, and I don't mean like super highly professional, like we were talking about Hasselblad. I'm talking about a legit camera and some lenses and the equipment that you need. And not only that, but what is it going to take for me to do this and invest in my family? And not right now today, because I'm building my business, but in 5 years. So when you get that kind of number, that number out there, that dreamer number, that's what you're shooting for. And so when you price yourself, when you decide how much your photography is worth, taking away your own personal confidence level, because every artist out there struggles with self-worth. Because if I paint a beautiful picture and you say that sucks, now I feel like I suck. And so we base all of our worth on everyone else's opinion of what our work looks like and what they think that we're worth. So you can't do that. You have to look at, I want to be a photographer that is respected. And I don't mean like I'm respected in the city, but when a client comes to me, they're going to be investing in my artistic vision and they're going to respect me. And so with that, you have to look at all the different things. Pricing. When I started out, I would say, what does it cost for me to get a 5x7 from my lab? And I would go into my lab and put a 5x7 in my cart and be like, okay, it costs this much. Boom. If I double that, I just made 100%. And that seems legit. And it's not, because we talked about cameras and we talked about training and mentoring and education. And what about your taxes? And what about your software? And what about your overhead and your cell phone and everything else goes into it? And so all that has to take place. And so that is, you know, the logical, the practical aspect. Don't just say, what is the other guy in my town charging for this? Because I don't want to be like every other photographer. I want to be better than every photographer. I may never be better than every photographer, but shouldn't our goal always be to be the very best that we can possibly be. Absolutely. If I'm like, I want to be adequate. I just want to be adequate. Nobody wants to be. I could, if I were to say, hi, I'm an adequate senior photographer. You should come to me and have me take your pictures. They'd be like, oh, no, we don't want adequate.
Right.
And then the other part of this, which is really a passion for me because I struggled with this for so long, is your own personal worth. Like I said before, artists struggle with that all the time. Mm-hmm. And we base our own worth on what other people say about us. And it is so hard for us to relate that inwardly. But when we go outwardly, you know, when I go to take it into the business world, if I go to an accountant and I say, I'm looking for an accountant who knows their stuff, who's going to be on my side if I'm ever audited, who knows all the tax laws, who I can hand all of my stuff over to. And they're like, I got this, Sherry. Go for it. Mm-hmm. I will say, I don't care what you charge me. I need you to do this for me.
Right.
And we put our worth, they have high worth. So they say, this is what I can do. I'm really good at it. And this is my price. And we probably aren't going to second guess it. Mm-hmm. When I go to get my hair cut, I don't say, I want an adequate hairstylist, somebody who can, you know, give me a good haircut, whatever. Just straight bowl cuts, fine. No, I say, I need somebody who's going to make me look fantastic. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to have to pay more for that. And I get it. But when we take that inwardly, really, we say, I want to be a fantastic photographer and I want to make amazing images and make my clients feel so fantastic, or, you know, work with these corporate entities and have them respect me as a photographer. But I'm only going to charge a little bit. And it doesn't correlate. If I go to a place and just get a bowl cut, I would expect to get a $10 haircut. Mm-hmm. If I'm going to go to some place and they are going to give me a neck massage and they're going to color my hair and they're going to talk with me about, you know, what does my day look like? What am I going to do with my hair? You know, they're giving me that experience. They're showing me that they're the expert. And along with that expertise comes a value. Mm-hmm. And we all get that. And so that's what we have to do as artists in the photography arena, is to realize that we all have worth. And by shooting a session for anything less, and I don't want to put a number on it, because for mm-hmm. some people, they would say, if I shot a session for $1,000, I would be schlepping myself out. Mm. And some people would say, if I shot a session for $1,000, oh my gosh, that would be dream come true. Mm. So whatever, if you are shooting anything for less than what you are worth, it's going to kill your soul.
Yeah.
Because it's going to suck the life out of you. When I give things away for free, I used to do free for friends and family. I don't do free or discounts. I did discounts for friends and family. I did a 20% discount, or sometimes half off for friends and family. Family far away. If it was shooting my mom, I would be like, Mom, pay me half. But you know what I'm saying? Friends and family, mm-hmm. mostly friends. And I always found that the people that I discounted my work to were the ones that treated me the worst. And absolutely. It's because immediately they lose respect for me. Mm-hmm. Because now I'm not worth as much as what I think I am. Mm-hmm. Because mm-hmm. I just discounted myself. And so along with that discount comes a discounted respect. And so the last time that I did that, it was actually for a family that I knew in my church. And for all the people in the world, you'd think that they would love you the most and be like, yeah. Oh my gosh, thank you so much for this. They treated me the worst.
Wow.
And I walked away from that in tears. And I thought, never again will I ever discount myself financially or my worth. And so now, if I love you enough to give you free, then I will tell you just how much time you're taking away from my family. Mm. Because I want you to know that there still is a value to what I'm giving you.
Right.
And that's important. You know, I call it my moxie. I have mm-hmm. moxie now. Mm-hmm. And my moxie means that I take care of me and my family. And that is financially and emotionally, spiritually, relationally worth everything. I'm done prostituting myself out in the photography world. I know that sounds horrible, but
well, no, but really, it's true.
It just cheapens it.
Yeah. Yeah.
You're not cheap. You're worth it. So I tell every single one of my seniors, you know, I say, you are worthy. Mm. I try to let them walk away with a feeling of higher self-worth than what they came in. Mm. And if that's in their future endeavor or their self-esteem or the fact that they have a squinty eye, or they don't like their hips, or their boyfriend treats them like crap. Mm. You are worth.
Absolutely.
You are worthy, and be worthy of yourself in photography.
And that's such an important message for photographers at any stage, but especially for those just starting out, because a lot of them deal with the imposter syndrome, or like you said, they don't feel like they're worthy. And so absolutely. They're afraid to charge what they are worth. And the other point you make that I think is excellent is that you have to actually sit down and logically figure this out. You can't determine your pricing by how you feel. You have to have it backed up with hard numbers. You have to, you know, even if it takes a couple days, a week, that's time well worth it because it will help preserve your sanity and it'll make you more money in the long run. You have to know the hard facts and the hard numbers behind running your business.
Right. Absolutely. You know, everyone has their priorities. I was talking to one of my clients and she fell in love with every single one of her son's pictures and, you know, was going to spend this a pretty good amount in the thousands on his imagery and told her husband. And he was like, "What? Are you crazy? There's no way." And so now they're in this at home argument, I'm sure. Aww. But she told me after that conversation, she said, you know, he chartered a $15,000 private jet for him and his friends to go golfing just for fun.
Wow.
But yet spending thousands of dollars on his son's senior portraits wasn't going to happen. And I, you know, it was a huge lesson for me in priorities. Mm-hmm. Everybody puts their priority in different things. I don't drive a super nice car because I couldn't care less what I drive. But I buy nice jeans because it makes my booty look good.
There you go.
I like. And you know what? And some people are like, I don't care about my jeans. I want to drive a BMW. And so everybody has priorities. And I want those clients. I price myself for the clients whose priority is fantastic photography. And they will spend the amount to get that. That's the clientele that I want to serve because those are the people that are going to love me, respect me, and then tell other friends who also have a high value in photography about me. If I price myself for the person that wants to drive Hugo, do they even make those anymore?
I have no idea.
I already told people I'm 42, but whatever. That's when I was like 17. For the cheap, you know, for the, those cheap little cars, then that's who I'm always going to be servicing. And they're always going to not really care because they don't really care about photography. They just need to check the box. My son's five. I need to get it done. I don't want to spend a lot of money. I just need to capture his face right now because it's part of my job is being a mom. So what can I do? How can I get this done the cheapest way possible? That is not my client.
So that's not my client. Here's another question for you then. How do you find the right clients, the ones that are the best fit for you?
I find the right client by, well, in the senior arena, there's a few different ways. This is kind of marketing and pricing. So first of all, I price myself to work with the clients that are going to want to spend money. And I'm not talking like tens of thousands of dollars. But what I need to pay my mortgage, to pay myself, to run my business, to do all the things we talked about earlier. So I price myself like that. Then I look at my branding and I create a brand. You can't just be like, I like Curls medium font today, but next, that one needs to be like, that one needs to go in the trash. Oh, everyone needs to take that one off their computer.
That and Comic Sans, right?
Yes. And Scriptina. If I see one more Scriptina, I swear I might kick my dog. No, I would never kick my dog. Yeah. So have a brand because the cool thing about branding is it's memorable. When you look at a bullseye, you know, it's Target. When you look at a swoosh, it's Nike. Now, am I Nike or Target? No. But when my clients see my brand, they know it's me. I have a certain look. I have a certain font. I have a certain social swoosh that I put on everything. And it marks my stuff as mine. That's number one. Then, so I price myself accordingly. I have a brand that's recognizable to my clients. And then I align myself with both my clientele that are my best clients because, you know, I have people that come in and spend the very minimum they possibly can. We all have them. And then I have people that come in and spend like, I don't even want to tell you your total because you might just backhand me. So I have those people. And those are the people that love my photography, obviously, because they just spent a crap ton of money on it. Like, there goes Christmas, kids. And so those are people that I want to align with because they have friends that also, you know, you're friends with, you're going to align yourself in your friendships with the same things that is important to you. So they're going to have friends that are going to listen to them. And so those people, I want to have them talk about my stuff. So I'm like, oh my gosh, tell your friends. And I give them incentive to tell their friends. That's the number one thing is to really hone in on your very best clients. So the next thing is to align yourself with businesses in your local community or in your further reaching community that also meet your brand. So if I'm trying to reach clients that love photography, they love those, you know, the touchy-feely things in life, because really photography is touchy-feely. Mm-hmm. It gives them, it evokes memories. It evokes a sense of camaraderie and family, that sort of thing. They're proud of showing these images. I want to align myself with businesses that service people who love the touchy-feely things. They want that high-end brand. They want to feel beautiful in their clothing. So I'm not going to go to Walmart and say, can I do a campaign for you? Because while there's clothing at Walmart, that's not my brand. I want to go to like the boutique or the hairstylist that is a boutique hairstylist that has this really close-knit group of clients who love what she does. They spend time with her. They trust their hairstylists are great, because when you find a hairstylist that you love, you trust them. And if you can align yourself with a hairstylist, like we talked about before, who gives that experience, right, who makes you feel special and beautiful when you're done, you trust them with everything. So if they say, oh my gosh, I just had the most amazing photo session with Steve Phelps Photography. She took these amazing pictures of my kids. Let me show them to you. Now that client is like, oh my gosh, Monica, these are beautiful. What is her name? I want to go to her too. Right. And now I've just captured a client who is trusting the person they're talking to, who sees the value in a high-end product outside of photography, and who will utilize my services for their own needs and expect that my pricing is not going to be cheap, because they're already spending $130 for a cut and color, cut, color, and paste, like you saw my mom when I was little when she was a hairstylist. I'm like, Mom, did you cut, color, paste today? When they got their cut, color, paste, they spent, you know, all this money on it. So they already see the value in high-end things and experience. And so that's how you want to align. That's a little off the cuff thing. But then, you know, as for seniors, you know, just to throw it out there blanketly, you know, I do a lot of pro bono things with that age group, because I feel like the senior market is the ones who pay my house payment and put my kids in college. So when I do my free work, my pro bono, my give backs, I give back to that genre or that age group. So I shoot things at the high school for free. And it's all, I mean, I utilize it all as marketing. I don't just shoot it for free and walk away with nothing. Right. I say my payment is being able to market to all these kids now. So that's where I put my bank. You know, if you do, if you're a baby photographer, a family photographer, a wedding photographer, look at those clientele and figure out how can you give back to, I think, you know, what you go, what you put out comes back to you tenfold.
Absolutely.
And so when I can give to that community, whether it's a low income senior who could never have afforded senior portraits, and I get a call from somebody saying, is there any way that you can give us a discount? I'm like, how about we do it for free? Whether they tell somebody or not really doesn't matter to me, because I know that God, the universe, whatever you want to call it, it's out there and it's going to come back to me, whether it comes back to me financially or just putting my head on the pillow at the end of the night, knowing that I changed a life today because they would have never been able to experience this. That to me is huge. I'm totally going off.
This is the most awesome answer to this question ever. You know, I think it's great. And I love how you broke it down. I was over here, if you see me looking down, once again, I'm taking notes, scribbling notes down. And I love how you broke it down step by step as far as determining your price based on the needs of your business and the type of client that you want to attract, and giving actual thought to your brand, and then aligning yourself with local businesses. I know that the audience is taking notes, and listening audience, if you're not taking notes, you should be, because Sherry is saving many of us a load of just loads of headache. I mean, if I could have had this discussion with you, Sherry, years ago, I probably could have saved myself years of mistakes in almost walking away from from not just photography, but creative business in general. You know, I think it's great. And I love it. And I wish we had more time to talk about this. And maybe I'll have you back on the show if you're willing in the future.
I would love that.
Because it's one of my favorite things to talk to photographers who mentor other photographers on business. It's just, you're dropping like gold nuggets, gold bombs right now, which is awesome.
Good. Well, it's really my passion. You know, I've always loved teaching. And if I could have had this conversation, you know, 12 years ago with my future self, I would have saved a lot of, you know, spin my wheels time.
Yeah.
And a lot of, you know, heart punches. Because I think we, you know, you go through your photography and your photography journey and, you know, you feel like you're doing awesome, awesome, awesome. And then you get a heart punch and it sets you back, you know, and then you have to regain that, you know, that territory that you spent. And so I would have saved myself a lot of heart punches and ego blows, not ego, like I'm so egotistical, but that thing that, you know, that makes you feel like I'm worthy, which, you know, is sad, but everyone's journey is so vital to everyone else's journey. And that's why it's so important to teach and mentor and talk to and be transparent.
Absolutely. It is a journey. And that's precisely why I renamed the podcast, the Pro Photographer Journey Podcast, because everybody's journey is different, but there are many common threads amongst all of our journeys, and we can all help each other with our experiences.
Yeah, absolutely. Oh my gosh, I love talking to you.
I know. This is so fun. I'm enjoying this. This is one of my favorite things to do. And and I can't wait to go back and re-listen to the conversation as well.
Good.
And, you know, unfortunately, I do have to wind down the interview.
Yep.
But one of my, not my final question, we'll call it my second to final question. Is there a particular photography resource, a tool, a book, online course, whatever you'd like to recommend that would help our listeners today?
You know, that I know you sent that one to me, and that's, of all of them, that's the one that stumped me. Because that one sounds so easy. Like, oh yeah, go read Eat My Cheese or whatever that one is.
Who Ate My Cheese?
Yeah, that one. Yeah. I don't have anything specific. I'm constantly learning. I learn from YouTube. I learn from Marie Forleo. I learn from senior photographers. I learn from my seniors that sit in my chair. That's one of the things that I think is one of my, personally, I think that's one of my gifts is I'm a learner. I've always been a learner. I've always been inquisitive. I've always asked sometimes annoyingly too many questions, but I learned so many things from so many different places because I'm not afraid to ask. So where can you learn? You can learn everywhere. You can learn from everywhere. Everything, every moment, every minute, every person is a teaching moment, good or bad. I learned really great lessons from really crappy people who treated me like crud.
There you go.
You know, like great lessons. And so there's really great YouTube videos for people who are just starting out and they're like, okay, Sherry, I get it. We need to do education, whatever. But to go to these conferences, thousands of dollars, and I have thousands of dollars. Okay, there's really great resources on YouTube. Should that be your only one to go learn Photoshop tutorials or lighting tutorials? No. Because the best lessons I've ever learned is hands-on. I would say, okay, if I have to break this down, because you really want to answer, if there's one resource that you can go to is find a photographer who inspires you and email them or contact them in whatever way and say, I admire you. You inspire me. And I want to invest. And that's the key word. I want to invest in learning from you, and I want to know how I can make that happen. And if they say, this is what it's going to cost, then be thankful, because it means that they take themselves seriously. Education and learning is an investment. Nobody got through college free. Even if you got full ride scholarship and grants, you worked for butt off to get through college. And that's the thing is, so find somebody who you love and ask them to be your mentor. And if they charge a price, pay it, because it will come back tenfold. Good information, good education is not free.
Absolutely.
So that's what I would say is always be looking, always be learning, and find somebody who you can work one-on-one with.
Good answer. And my final question for you, but one of the most important, tell us where we can find you online.
Okay, I'm at cphelpsphotography.com. Mm-hmm. That's as in Michael Phelps, no relation. Everyone's like, I need to be Michael Phelps.
I was going to ask, yeah.
No, I'm not, no. So cphelpsphotography.com. I am, because I'm a senior photographer, I do a lot of social media. So I'm on Instagram and Twitter at cphelpsphoto. I'm on Pinterest. I try to blog. I suck at blogging. And I think the last blog I put out was like a year ago, but I do have a blog.
It can be dark.
I have my free makeup tutorial on there if anyone wants to go there.
Excellent.
And I think it's sherryphelps.com. I'm not even sure where my blog is. Isn't that dumb? That's how much I blog. I do have a WordPress site though. But if you go to my website, there's probably a link on my four photographers. Yes, there is. In fact, I know. If you go to my website, cphelpsphotography.com, and then click on the four photographers link. At the very top says, sign up for my newsletter. If you sign up for my newsletter, there is a free makeup tutorial, I believe, that you get. If not, then email me. I'll send it to you. Oh, my God. I'm going to get like 5,000 emails. Hopefully, because you have like 40,000 listeners, right?
Oh, we're working up to that. We're working up to that.
Oh, you'll get there. Remember, we talked about dreamer. Where do
that's
you want
right.
to be?
That's right.
We're not where you know. So, yeah, that's where you can find me.
Excellent. Thank you. Thank you. And just thank you again, Sherry, for an awesome chat. I think this will help a lot of photographers now and in the future.
Yeah, absolutely. I love it. Thank you so much for including me on your
awesome. I'm honored.
I am. I'm honored to be here. I'm excited to be part of the podcast lineup.
Are you getting ready for your first photo shoot and need to learn some common mistakes to avoid? Or maybe you need to learn how to communicate with your clients and grow your business through email marketing. Or perhaps you're just getting started with your website and you're trying to figure out this WordPress hosting stuff. When you're in business for yourself, it's a lifelong learning process for sure. And that's why I've set up the Pro Photographer Journey Resource Center. You can learn all of this and more through my free and paid self-paced online courses. Each course focuses on these individual topics and is designed to hold your hand every step of the way and help you learn how to run your business more successfully. You'll also find a host of other tools in the Resource Center that are useful for running your photography business, many of which I use myself. From email marketing tools to forming an LLC for your business to cool image editing software, it's there. And wherever possible, I include coupon codes to these online services so that you can grab a discount. So check it out at prophotographerjourney.com/resource center. That's prophotographerjourney.com/resource center.